Now, our skin is an important barrier against infections, but there are also lots of microbes that make it their home. While most of them are harmless or even useful, sometimes something unexpected can hide away there, like sleeping sickness. It's a disease that affects 60 million people in rural parts of East, West and Central Africa. It's caused by parasites that get into your skin and blood system. If left untreated, sleeping sickness severely damages the nervous systems and can even be fatal. Efforts to eliminate it haven't been going as well as hoped, but could it be because we've been ignoring the skin's important role in transmission? Izzy Clark spoke to Annette McLeod from the University of Glasgow, who's working to improve the diagnosis technique.
The disease is transmitted by taxifly. So when the taxifly comes to take a blood meal, it bites your skin. They make a bit of a mess of the skin and they suck on the pool of blood and lymph that collects at the bite site. And that's when they inject the parasites, and that's how you get infected.
So how is this normally diagnosed?
Well, up until very recently, it was always thought that sleeping sickness was a blood disease. And so you would diagnose that by looking in people's blood. But what we have discovered is that the parasites are also in the skin. And in fact, that some people don't have any parasites in their blood, or very few, so you cannot detect them. But they can have quite a lot of parasites in their skin. So these individuals are not diagnosed, but they could contribute to transmission when a taxifly comes to bite you.
So if these parasites, they're residing in the skin, so a blood test may not actually be the best way forward, is that right?
That's right. So there's a significant proportion of people that have antibodies to the parasites, but we couldn't find any parasites in their blood. And these individuals were not treated and kind of ignored. But actually, we believe now that these individuals have got an infection and they are important in terms of disease transmission. And they could actually be hindering the WHO's program to eliminate the disease. Because if you have people that are transmitting the disease but seem to be relatively healthy, they can keep spreading the disease and it's very difficult then to eliminate it. So what we want to do is identify these individuals so we can treat them and then hopefully eliminate the disease that way.
So if we can't use blood tests to sort of find out who's been affected by this parasite, how can we get around that problem?
Well, we've been trying to develop with our collaborators from Strathclyde University, Duncan Graham, to develop a non-invasive handheld tool that will detect the trypanosomes under the skin. So this is based on Raman technology. So basically you shine a laser on somebody's skin and you can hopefully detect the parasites that are under there. You can see a difference in the Raman signal that you get from infected skin versus uninfected skin. And the trypanosomes have a unique signal. And so we can focus in on that signal and say, oh yes, this person's infected. So that's the idea and that's what we're trying to develop. And we tested a sort of prototype of this in Guinea a couple of months ago. And it's by no means perfect, but it's very promising. I think we can develop it further.
So is there any way that once you've found out that there is this infection, that it can be treated?
Yes, so you can treat the disease with drugs that are free from the WHO, but you have to be hospitalised and for about 2 weeks. And that's part of the reason why people with latent infections are not generally treated. So you only treat people that you've seen parasites in their blood. That is the current WHO standard.
Why is it important to investigate this so thoroughly?
It's holding up the elimination program. So what's happened previously is that the number of cases of sleeping sickness had come right down in the 1960s. And then we took our eye off the ball and then the disease re-emerged. And we got lots of cases, up to 300,000 cases in the 1980s. So now we're back getting the disease under control. But we have to understand how the disease re-emerges. And so we think it's these individuals that don't have any symptoms, but they're carrying the disease and they are seeding the next epidemic. So we need to stamp that out.
I mean, how long can this last in the system?
Yeah, we were involved in this very interesting case of somebody who was from Africa, from Sierra Leone, and he came to this country 29 years ago and then came down with sleeping sickness. So he was fine for 29 years. And then he was treated with immunosuppressants for an unrelated disease, and he came down with sleeping sickness. So he was able to control the disease for all that time.
And if you are able to improve this method, can it be used for anything else?
Well, yes. This technology has been used to identify skin cancer, for example, even to detect fake whiskey in whiskey bottles. So it's got lots of applications. When you go to the airport and they scan your bag with a little cloth and then put it in the machine, that's ramen that they're detecting to see if you've got cocaine or explosives. But we could also use this technology to look at other vector-borne diseases that have a skin component, like onchocerciasis, for example, where we know the parasites are in the skin. So I think it's got lots of potential.
Definitely some work to watch there. That was Annette McLeod from the University of Glasgow.